25 kilometers a year towards, he's moving basically towards Siberia. And I was also mentioning about compasses. You have to make allowance for that with your compass. Your compass will try to follow magnetic north, which is different than true north on maps. So you, my location here, the declination difference between true north and magnetic north is about 10 degrees, so I have to make an adjustment on my compass for that. So when I'm reading a map, I'm not out by 10 degrees. All right, next one here. How many horsepower does a horse have?
How many what? I would say either one or somebody owes me a refund.
I think it would depend on the horse.
I think it depends too if it's a short burst or if it's working all day long. If it's working all day long, obviously it's one horse, so it's probably one horsepower would it have. But, if it's in a short burst or giddy up and go quick, I'm guessing somewhere around the 15 horsepower mark, but for a very short time.
Well, this one here, it's kind of deceptive. James Watt, an engineer, years ago. In fact, he was an engineer of steam engines. He was using this as a comparison to show how many horses were equal to his engine. It was a little deceptive at the time. But a horsepower, one horsepower, and one horse can produce about 18,000 watts worth of power, which is about 24 horsepower. So a horse, and of course, you know, different horses would vary, but around 24. So the point is, horsepower isn't something you would say that equals just one horse. It's more than just one horse. And his engines were a little deceptive in what they were trying to represent with the power of horsepower. And the last one here. There are two more. But this last one here, well, the second to last one here. If the Earth doubled in size and its density, so it doubled in size and density, and it, well, actually, today, if doubled in size and its density remained the same, what would happen to trees? So
well, I guess gravity would quadruple
the
quarter of the size, KB3, JQ.
Trees
would probably become denser in the cell structure, KG6, GIA8.
Ken, I said that I would expect that gravity would quadruple, so the trees would become one quarter of their size, KB3, JQ.
Okay, and, well, for this one, if the Earth doubled in size and its density remained the same, what would happen? Well, the structural stress, cellular stress, et cetera, on the trees, in fact, even now, trees are inhibited from getting too high simply because of the effect of gravity and liquid water traveling up through from the roots up to the top of the tree once it starts getting high enough, it's around 10 meters or so, it starts to form a bit of a vacuum and that can form sort of a gaseous embolism in the tree's transport system and that can prevent water from getting up. But in this case, what would happen is the structural stress would cause a lot of trees to fall over or just snap. So doubling the Earth's size and keeping the density the same would double the gravity. phone going off here every once in a while, which you may have heard. We had some thunderstorms go through here today, and I'm still getting some reports here about lightning strikes. So this one, this last one here is about mammals. And can you name one mammal? This is a bit of a trick question, and I apologize. Name one mammal that does not give goosebumps.
Well, you get that weird kind of thing called a platypus, KB3JQQ.
I think it's probably a goose.
Okay, you said a goose. We're keeping it to mammal, but so you had a goose in there. Come on back in if you want to come up with another one. And Scott, you said a platypus.
Dolphins, KF8, FSQ.
And I think I heard dolphins.
Goose dolphin.
And are there any further stations like to come in on this one here about mammals? Or any mammals that don't get goosebumps?
I'm curious. Maybe it's an elephant. That's an eye on the tooth. Let's try elephant.
For this one here, mammals that have hair, will all get goosebumps. But animals like dolphins, whales, even elephants to a large extent, they're pretty much hairless, won't get goosebumps. But any mammal with hair on it will get goosebumps. And it's referred to as a piloerection. This is where a little muscle that contracts at the base of each hair and causes it to stand up. Well, any mammal doesn't have hair, well, it's not going to have that that issue. All right, that is it. That is it for the Science Trivia Corner for this week, and we'll head into the main topics here for tonight. And just before I do, just see if there are any further stations out there that would like to join us, and then we'll head into this next one about atomic wildfires.
Okay, so which mammals don't have hair?
Well, there you go. Any of them, like dolphins, whales, orcas, which are large dolphins, even elephants, are mainly hairless. So any mammals that don't have a lot of hair on them.
What about Egyptian hairless cats?
Yeah, before we move on here, too, the trivia end of this, too, just some straight trivia. Thought you might find this very interesting tonight, too. You can research a little bit more if you want to follow up on it a little bit.
Here's Kilo India 6 Whiskey Papa Kilo, KI6WPK. Listening with interest, as always.
And I have you check in. Thanks for joining us. this is VA3KX. And the first, well, there's only two here, then we'll move into the main topics here. This is about dreams and research. Research has shown that you're more likely to remember your dreams when you sleep badly and wake up multiple times, as opposed to having a good night's sleep and staying asleep. As well, you're more likely to remember the dream if you wake during a dream. And the Lego bricks, they can handle compression better than concrete, believe it or not. One Lego brick can support the weight of 375,000 other bricks before failing. Theoretically, you can construct a tower almost 3.5 kilometers, 2.7 miles high with just Lego bricks. So very very interesting there. Give that a look up later if you like. All right, let's head into the main topics here for tonight. As I mentioned, the first one here is about atomic wildfires. This is actually a looming problem that's showing up in Russia now, and predictions are that other countries will start seeing similar things happen as time goes on here. Before we do, any further stations like to join us? Any comments? Come on in, and then atomic wildfire.
Hello, Golf 6, Golf India, Alpha, Dave. KG6GIA, Dave.
And Dave, I got you.
Well, I'm in Saskatoon, no contact.
I doubled with that station from Saskatoon. I didn't get your call sign. Dave, I've got you in. That station from Saskatoon?
Yeah, BE5RS. We're on Saskatoon. BE5RS.
And RS, I've got you in. All right, thanks. Thanks for coming in. The main topic for tonight, as I said, about atomic wildfires. Sounds a little cryptic, but we'll get into this in a sec here. Way back in September of 1957, farmers in the Ural Mountains, this is in central Russia, noticed something unusual about the sky. It had actually changed color. It had streaks of luminous pink were just passing through the atmosphere. And for a brief moment, they thought they were looking at, they're witnessing auroras, but the colors, they didn't match. The colors just did not match. There weren't enough colors, and the colors were just a little too luminous and vibrant for auroras to stop it. What they were seeing was the explosion of a secret facility near the town of Kishtim. A stainless steel tank holding large amounts of fission material had just exploded. And the facility went by the name of Mayak, and was so secret that when it was being constructed in the 1940s, passing trains had their carriage window blacked out so passengers couldn't see what was being constructed. And Mayak was the Soviet Union's first plutonium reactor. And it was built with blueprints stolen from the U.S. Just dropping. And when engineers at the site, they kept feeding uranium slugs into the reactor to breed plutonium 239. And when squeezed enough, it starts a chain reaction leading to an atomic explosion. However, plutonium remains trapped in uranium and needs to be dissolved in a solution of nitric acid. And the leftover waste incrementally begins to boil as atoms start to decay. As more and more nuclear material was being made, workers at the reactor had to find a way to deal with it. So, what did they do? They dumped it into lakes and that drained into rivers that flowed into the Arctic and even the Caspian Sea. Just dropping. Once villagers in the area began falling ill from drinking water, engineers started putting the radioactive waste into underground tanks, then sealing them in concrete.